get your Bible, please, and turn into the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Now, for the last few Sunday nights, I've been talking about how God has spoken in the last days or in times past. And what are we on about the fourth or the fifth study of that, I believe, fifth study. Tonight, I'm going to break you off of that, and we're coming back to it later, but tonight, I'm going to just pull in something I believe is a challenge and a strength and maybe an encouragement, maybe to help to charge you tonight. And we certainly need that. I know we're studying out of the book of Isaiah. We're studying out of the book of 1 Corinthians. Hadn't been in it in a while. I try to bounce around a little bit on that. And it's not, I'm just trying to fill up space. Years ago, I would study and just try to stay with it to the place that we just preach what we study in. And now I got some of them here and here and here, and I just have to wait on God to see which one He wants next. And that's what I like. Amen. The Lord give it to us, and it's there. But when God gives it to us, we want to put it in there to help us. So tonight we want to look in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in chapter number 2. I want you to stand. We're going to read 3 or 4 verses here. Pray, and then we'll give you some other scriptures. And then just challenge your heart. I pray tonight that God would do what He needs to do in our heart. My heart needs to be blistered many times. Sometimes it needs to be blessed. Right? Amen. I don't know which yours need tonight, but I pray God give you what you do need. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, Paul speaking in verse number 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." In other words, what he's trying to tell Timothy is to teach and preach and get them busy and involved, that they might go and tell others, that he might go and tell others, and that they might go and tell others, and that they might go and tell others. And it seemed to work, because we're still trying to tell others tonight. Amen. Look at verse number 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I'm going to talk on the soldier tonight, and I pray that the Lord might bless and help us. You can be seated, and we'll pray together. Father, give us wisdom tonight to understand the Word of God. Give us a challenge from the Scriptures. I pray tonight, Lord, you'd use the message for your name's honor and glory, that your name will be exalted and lifted, and that, Lord, you might be magnified, as we said this morning. David wants to extol the Lord. I pray tonight, God, we'll lift and exalt and magnify you. And I pray, Lord, that we might get something here to help us and strengthen us. Use this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, I want you to turn, or not turn, but hold your place. It actually is on the same leaf of my, not the same page, but the opposite leaf of my Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, in chapter 2, Paul is saying to Timothy, be a good soldier. He's telling him, say, endure hardness as a good soldier. But he's got the greatest, I guess, teacher you could have. But look in chapter 4, you'll find that Paul, at the end of his journey, and this is so familiar, and he looks down in verse number 6 and gives this to us, and he's also talking to Timothy, and he said, "For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." And he goes on to say, "I have fought a good fight." That reminds me of a soldier. Amen. Paul was a good soldier. And a good soldier tried to teach Timothy to be a good soldier. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." I believe we got a lot of fighting, but I ain't so sure they're good soldiers. Amen. That's right. Sometimes we want to tear everybody all to pieces. Amen. Like a hungry dog, hungry, and amen, feeding him meat, I'll guarantee you. Verse 8, he said, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Now, Paul finished a good fight. Amen. Now, hold your place in Timothy, please, and turn over into the book of 1 Chronicles. I want to borrow some scripture from another place. I want to give all this, and then we'll try to say a few things about the soldier tonight. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, I'll give you time to turn there. That's one of them books it's hard to find. I'll give you time to get there. When you get over there and find it, say amen. Amen. Oh, we all better than I thought we were. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 33 said, of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle. Notice what it said about him. Expert in war. Now, wouldn't you like to have that characteristic in the work of God? Expert in war. Now, this is physical, but I'm going to use these as a spiritual application. With all instruments of war. Hey, he was an expert in war. He knew how to use the instruments of war. And then he goes on and said, 50,000, which could what? Keep rank. Ooh, I've met a lot of Baptists who couldn't keep rank. I don't know as I can keep rank in a physical army, but I want to keep rank in the work of God, though. He said, they were not of a double heart. They had a single heart. So that tells us something about the army, if it's going to be a good army. Now, this is some of the army of David. Amen. David the king. And if David looked for some expert men, what do you think the Lord is looking for tonight? Amen. Now turn with me backwards in your Bible to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, please. We're going to read several verses here. I want you to look at this. And I'm laying the groundwork for us tonight. In 2 Samuel chapter number 10, look at verse 9. And we're going to see Joab here. 2 Samuel chapter number 10. Say amen when you get there. Amen. All right. Verse 9, when Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him, before and behind, in other words, they was closing in on him, he chose of all the what kind of men? Choice men. Now if God, if David is looking for expert men and Joab's looking for some choice men, who do you think God's looking for? He said, choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. In other words, he put them in rank and put them in place where that they could stand, close up the gap. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. So what he done is he split the army up. You got that? He split them up. He put them where they needed to be. I believe God has us where he wants us to be or needs for us to be. He knows how to put us where we need to be. Verse 11. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage and let us play the men for our people. Amen. And for the cities of our God. And the Lord do that which seemeth him good. He said, what we're going to do is I'm going to go one of them, and if the Syrians are against me, if one's against me and taking me over, you come and help me, and otherwise I'll come and help you if you're in trouble. You understand what they're doing? Verse 13, and Joab drew nigh, and the people that were with him under the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. I mean, they couldn't take it. They took off. Verse 14, and when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, then fled they also before Abishai and entered into the city. They took off. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. I would say this was some pretty good soldiers, would you not? They used their talents and their abilities and what they had for the glory of God, and God helped them. And when the Syrians saw that they were smitten before Israel, they gathered themselves together and had Rezer sent and brought out the Syrians and were beyond the river. And they came to Helam. And Shobak, the captain of the host of Hadrezer, went before them. Notice what verse 17 said. And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and passed over Jordan and came to Helam. And the Syrians sent themselves in array against David and fought with him. And the Syrians fled before Israel. And David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians and 40,000 horsemen and smote Shobach, the captain of their host, who died there. They had a battle, and they won the victory. Now, beloved, tonight, we're in a battle. Would you agree with me tonight? I'll tell you, I believe that. I read this, and I jotted this down. I thought it was pretty sensible. It come from somebody that wasn't particularly a preacher, but he wrote this and said it, and I thought it was pretty good, and I wrote it. He said, it is a soldier, not the preacher, who gives us freedom of religion. It is the soldier, not the reporter, who gives us freedom of the press. It's the soldier, not the poet, who gives us freedom of speech. It's the soldier, not the protester, who gives us freedom to assemble. It's the soldier, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It's the soldier, not the politician, who gives us the right to vote. It is the soldier who is not only salutes the flag, but serves under the flag, fighting for the country that the flag represents. Brother, the soldier, doing a lot. And I know tonight we're not specifying the soldier, and the soldier couldn't do any more than what God would allow him to do. So in the end, the victory comes from God. But if we're in the battle, I believe tonight we ought to be the best that we could be for the glory of God. Are you, amen? Do you believe that's right? Are you with me? Amen, I do too. I believe we ought to do the best that we can. Sometimes our best is not good enough, but I pray that we stay in the fight. I read in the Word of God that God looks for a man who will stand in the gap and make up the hedge. We're in a war. I said that a while ago. I'll say it again. I want to tell you tonight, it's not just a war. It's a raging battle. I want you to know the battle is raging tonight on righteousness. It's raging tonight against the Word of God. It's raging tonight against the church of the living God tonight. It really is. I don't believe we're just in a little conflict. We've had a few little conflicts in days past with our nation, and we'll still have those. The Bible said in the last days we'll find that there'll be wars and rumors of wars. But I'm talking about tonight, spiritually speaking, we're not just in a little bitty conflict. We're not in a skirmish tonight. We're not in a cold war. We are in a real heated, hot war. Amen, spiritually speaking. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, it's a battle of the ages, if you will. It's not just a little a battle of the time, it's a battle of the ages. And I want to say to you tonight, we are in a fight of our lifetime. And it's our time to do the fighting. Amen. And I'm not talking about bruising somebody on the head and knocking somebody out, but I'm talking about standing in that gap, as I said a minute ago, and making up the hedge for the cause of Christ. Amen. Matter of fact, it's our time. Others have come, give themselves for the cause of Christ, stood in their hour and stood in their day, and now it's my time and your time to stand up like we've never stood before and hold the Word of God high to a high standard. I believe God's standards are high. And I believe we ought to hold them high, and we ought to be willing to fight for them. Amen. I believe tonight it's not just a war against man. I believe it's a war against sin and the ugliness of sin and the penalty of sin and what sin can do for our families and against our own lives. I don't believe that, but I believe tonight it's a war not against only against sin, but it's a fight and a war tonight against the devil, who's out to destroy us and to ruin every home and to destroy every heart and to discourage every soul and keep us from making up the hedge tonight and standing for the cause of Christ. I also believe tonight that it's a battle and a war against the world. The world tonight is out to destroy you. The world despises you. And if you get to love in the world, you become an enemy of God. And God teaches us to come out from among them. And brother, we got to fight against what the world stands for. And brother, we've got to take our stand with the blessed Word of God. You believe me? Amen. Not only that, but tonight it's also a battle and a war with the flesh that I have to contend with every day. Brother, it's not an easy thing to stand for the cause of Christ every day. There's too much to be offered. The devil's got his flashing lights. The world's got its flashing lights. The flesh has got its flashing lights. Brother, it's got its desires and its wants. and it and the things that it wants to go after. And I'm telling you tonight, we have to fight with that to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge for the cause of Christ. I say the battle is raging. I said it a while ago, but I'll say it again. It's raging tonight. Amen. It's not raging, but it's a dangerous battle that we're in. It sure is. It's a trying battle. We're in ours today. Have you ever heard this little saying? Brother, these are days that try men's souls. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, it does. It'll try your soul. We're even living today in the heat of the battle. We wonder why things are going the way they're going. Beloved, I'll tell you right now, it's because we are in the battle. We're in a warfare. Brother, this battle demands all our attention. Not just parts of it, but all of our attention. It demands tonight all our abilities. Everything that is within me, I should be able to give and should give to God. It's going to take every strength I've got and all the strength that I've got tonight to stand in the gap and make up the hedge until the victory comes through the rapture of the church. Amen? I believe we ought to be where we ought to be. Amen. This battle tonight is worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for the children and the grandchildren, for the doctrines and the theology of the Word of God, and to stand for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints of God. If they stood for it, we should stand for it. In days past, they died and gave themselves for it. It's not only worthy tonight to fight for it, but it's rather a blessing tonight if we have to, even to die, and to fight if we have to die for the faith. Amen. Somebody said, I don't want that part. You may not, but it may come to that part tonight. Amen. As sure as I'm standing before you. This battle, brother, these soldiers who have stood for God down through the years, they've changed the ages past. These battles that the saints of God have occurred and come through, not only have they changed the past, but they're changing the present. And those battles that we're fighting now will change the future. We're going to have to stand in there and make up the hedge that God wants us to be. So I want to say tonight, the battle's ultimately going to be won. The victory's going to be won. And we'll shout the victory. I'm glad tonight, and I'll report to you, greater's He that's within me than he that's in the world. And I want to tell you that victory's ours. And one day we're going to win. The battle'll be over. When the last shot's fired and the smoke's all cleared away, we're going to be on the winning side. Amen. Ain't that the truth? Now, jot these things down. Here's some things about a good soldier. I don't want to just be a regular old soldier. Amen. Now, I've never been in the armed services. You say, well, you don't have any right to talk about it. I'll guarantee you I've been in the battle, though. Amen. And I have not retired with a 20-year service pen. Been fighting the battle. It's been a long time. Somebody said, what about the retirement? Don't have it. Amen. I heard about an experiment. And I ain't all excited about that. But I'm ready to keep on going. Amen. I want to get another. Have you ever heard of the second wind? Sometimes you come in, you fellas do, and you're tired. Maybe you ladies do that too, I guess, working around the house. You can do that. Always, you know, think, well, they don't have nothing to do, but they do. And the men come home working and tired. And there's other things. They usually, when you get home, there's still a honey-do list. And you wonder how you're going to have strength to do that. But after a while, you take a little bite to eat, maybe a 10-minute nap, if you can get a 10-minute nap, and then God gives you that second wind, and you take off. Amen. I remember when that used to happen. It's hard to get that second wind now. Amen. Unless I get it early in the day. Amen. Them second winds don't show up after dark. Amen. And I don't feel like running all night like I used to. I could stay up all day and part of the night and still go to work the next morning. And now I can't hardly stay up all day and be able to work the next morning. All right. But that's so much for that. I want to be the soldier tonight that God wants. First of all, a good soldier has, first of all, to enlist in the army. He's got to get in the work of God. How do you enlist in the work of God? You get saved. Amen. You said, I thought God drafts us in. Well, drafts, when the war's going on, there's some drafts. I stayed 1A one time right in the middle of the Vietnam conflict. Wasn't a war, it's a conflict. And I went up to the courthouse and I told the woman, I said, I've got a status change to make. She said, what is it? I said, I got married. And just a few days after I got married, she said, that ain't going to get you out of the service. I said, I didn't marry her because I wanted out of the service. I married her because I loved her. And if I called her name, you'd understand, but I don't think she understood much of anything. And she was kind of rough on everybody. And then she said, you're still going to be 1A. I said, that's all right. If I have to go, I have to go. I wasn't trying to get out of it. But I sure prayed, amen, that God in heaven would hear my prayer and not call me. And he didn't. Amen, they didn't call me. I never even had to go get a physical. That was during the middle of the Vietnam conflict. Now, my brother, 2 years younger than me, had to go spend his time. He got drafted. And I don't know where my wife got me out of it by marrying her or not, but I know I didn't have to go. But it wasn't long until God drafted me into the service of God in the preaching. And been preaching ever since. And brother, it's been a battle. Amen. God didn't change the status on that. He gave me 1A and sent me. And put me in boot camp. And I've been in boot camp for many, many years. And brother, I'll tell you, boot camp gets rough. Some of those things that we faced down for, we got where we are now years ago. I looked at that. And every time we'd have a rough time, I'd say, we're in boot camp. I'd tell that to my wife. And I thought, Lord have mercy, God's work is a big boot camp. And sometimes I think I get out of it and then something else comes along and I say, Lord, ain't we got enough training yet? And evidently we don't have. Amen, because it ain't smooth sailing. I'm not fussing, I'm not griping, I'm not complaining. I'm glad God put me in the service of God. It's been the greatest thing I've ever been in and been involved in. And I enjoy it better than anything in the world. But a good soldier, first of all, got to enlist. It'd be good if you'd be a volunteer. That's what Romans 12:1 is in the Bible for. I present, you know, our bodies. That's what we're to do. The Bible teaches us that we present our bodies, a living sacrifice. I presented myself to the Lord that He'd take us. Now, He'll draft you if He has to. Amen. That's what happened to me. I run from God. He drafted me. I didn't want to preach. I tried to argue with God and tried to bargain with God and tried to get Him not to get me to preach. I'd do it when I learned the Bible. And if I'd have done that, I still wouldn't be preaching tonight. God had took me up on that. And so then He said, your deal ain't going to work. And I don't make no deals with you. My callings are without repentance, and He put me involved in it. Amen. He got me in. But thank God, there's one thing I can say, and I appreciate it. I'm glad God drafted me in, and when He drafted me in, He put it in my heart. And it wasn't long, brother. I wiggled and twisted and squirmed and kicked and bucked and done everything else. But finally, God got a hold of me and made me enjoy it. Thank God I enjoy it tonight. And I'm glad that you don't have to twist my arm to preach anymore. Amen. Now, some of y'all tonight, you said, why, preacher, I wouldn't think you'd be that way. Well, there's some of y'all God's still a twisting arms on tonight. Amen. He's kicked you a few times. He's pushed you. He slapped you around a time or two in the hospital. He's done some other things with you, and He's talking to you, and you're sitting now trying to figure out how to get out of it still. Why don't you just go ahead and enlist and get involved in it and do what God wants you to do? It'll be the happiest time of your life. I want to be a good soldier, but you can't be a good soldier if you run against God. Number two, not only a good soldier has to enlist, but a good soldier tonight has to be a follower. Amen. I'll tell you what, I see some of these old sergeants and lieutenants and captains and these fellas, and they'll tell you to do something. Of course, I hadn't been in the service, but I heard and seen where they do it in the news and hear other soldiers who have been there hear the things that they tell them. And they'll say, you got to do this. And I look at that and I say, they'll do that. They're awful mean. I say, they don't even seem to be fair. My brother told me when he was in the service and they put him in the boot camp and got him started, said, he is bad to smoke, and he got out there and he smoked a cigarette and he's smoking, and one of them come by and caught him or saw him, and he got rid of his cigarette right quick, flipped it up under a little building, and that fella said, "Soldier, you're smoking, wasn't you?" He said, "Yes, I was." He said, "You don't lie to him." And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to get under that building where you throwed it, and I want you to get that little short-handled shovel, and I want you to dig a hole and put that cigarette in it." He had to dig a big hole. They make you dig a big hole, I understand. And he dug a big hole, and he put that cigarette down in that hole and covered it up. And he got back out and he said, "Soldier, I noticed you didn't put it out. Before you put it in there, dig it up and put it out." And he said, "That like to kill me." Can you imagine? He said, "That's just overbearing." No, what they were teaching him is you have to follow orders. If they do not get your attention and get that authority fixed in you, when they give you an order on the field, when you're in a fight, you can lose your life or cause others to lose their lives. And brother, you've got to get that authority right. So you've got to be a follower. You've got to have loyalty to the captain. There must be an allegiance to the cause that you're in. And beloved, tonight, do we not have a cause? Is there not a cause, David said? Sure, we've got a cause. We should get in the cause tonight and fight the good fight of faith. And yes, we ought to have some allegiance to the Son of God. He purchased us and redeemed us. He owns us. He has every right in the world to tell us what we can and cannot do. He has every right in the world to tell us when to get up and when to go to bed, when to do something and when not to do something, and how we can and cannot do it while we're doing those things. God has that right. Somebody said, "I just do not believe God has the right to pattern my life and rule my life." Oh, yes. If you're saved by the grace of God, He owns you. It's about time you recognize tonight that you're a servant. You're just a vessel. You're just an instrument of righteousness for His name's sake. And the first thing you've got to have is to have some following. You've got to follow Him. Number three, I got so many. I'll give these out because I know always my time runs out on me. Oh, I wish, one of these days I stand over in glory and preach, I get through with it. But when I get there, I'll be through with it. Amen. It's going to be something to have a congregation you won't have to preach to no more. I look at you and preach to you. Desire to preach to you. Need to preach to you. When I get over in glory, I'll shout with you for a while. I quit preaching. Amen. Won't that be a blessing for you? That'd be heaven just by itself. Amen. Think about that. The preacher won't be preaching to me no more. All right. Third, I believe a good soldier tonight must be faithful. Not only be a follower, but he needs to be faithful. The Bible said here that he needs to endure hardness as a good soldier. He got to have some endurance. We need to endure hardness. That means he will not quit. He will not, what do you find that, what they call that? When they slip out and leave, AWOL, well, they call it AWOL, if you go home and don't come back, absent without leaving. And if you slip off, that's a deserter. And we know tonight we don't need neither one of them. And so in the work of God, we need to endure hardness and not quit. That means while we're in the work of God tonight, we might suffer. Did you know that a soldier suffers out there? Sometimes he has pain. Can't do nothing about it. He's in the middle of the fight. Sometimes he has to go hungry. He can't stop and eat when the enemy's firing the wicked darts at them. Amen. Or the real bullets. Sometimes he's cold. Sometimes he's wet. Sometimes he's hot. Sometimes he's sleepless. But at the same time, he's not to complain. He's not to gripe. He's not to grumble. But he's to persevere and stand in there and guard the truth and guard what he's standing for and keep fighting when the battle's raging. Even it means the next shell is going to hit him between the eyes. He's to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Now, number four, I'll give you something this. I believe that the soldier must be familiar with the commander's voice. If you don't know his commander's voice, How's he going to take commands? I believe tonight we as the sheep of his pasture needs to know the voice of the Son of God. How are we going to know the Lord Jesus when he's speaking? I hear so many of the saints of God now sitting in the church, and they hear a voice and they don't know where, and they'll look at me sometimes, and they've talked about it to me sometimes, and I don't know where it's God or the devil that's doing the speaking. Now let me give you some encouragement. The best way you know the voice of God when he speaks is to stay in the Bible and have a constant conversation with him on your knees. And when you talk to him and he talks to you, and you talk to him and he talks to you again and again and again. Guess what? Boy, I'll tell you what, my mama, I always know when my mama spoke. I also know when my daddy spoke. Amen. I'd be a playing, and Mama would say, "Dennis," that means she wants something. But when I was in trouble, she'd say, "Dennis Garland." I knowed I was in trouble. Amen. Or call me by my last name. "Dennis Dills, you get here in a minute." I knowed I was in trouble. And it causes familiarity of the voice. Brother, we need to get in the Word of God that we know him. We must be not only familiar with the voice of the captain, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, but we must be familiar with the weapons that we have. What kind of weapon does a child of God have? He has faith. Amen. He has prayer. He has the Spirit of God, and he has the Word of God, and you need to know how to use all four of those weapons. One that's going to do the best job is that sword. That'll whack the head of the devil off. Amen. That'll slice him right and left because it's two-edged, and he'll get him. No, he must be familiar with the voice of the commander. We must be familiar with the voice, with the weapons that we are carrying. Can you imagine him putting a man out on the front line and he don't even know how to pull the hammer back on the gun or load the gun? Amen. Can you imagine putting me out in a hot battle and handing me something I've never seen before and say, "Here, you better shoot him or they'll shoot you." And when I don't even know where the hammer is, if it's even got one. I don't know how to put a shell in it. Don't know how to do it if it had to. Amen. How in the world am I going to do that? I've got to get familiar with my weapons. Some of you ain't studied the Word of God. You can't quote over four verses in your Bible. Amen. And you have a struggle with them. You need to get familiar with it where you can tell the devil and shake him up. You can't fight him with your fist and clubs. You're going to have to take the Word of God to do a job on him. Amen. Well, you said all this is plain and simple. I told you it's just a challenge tonight. I pray God will challenge you. Now, you not only need to be familiar with all that, but you need to be familiar with the enemy's strategy. Amen. You know those who fight the battles over there, they're looking at the strategy plans. They're trying to get they get what they call the intelligence. Amen. Some of y'all can't understand the devil's plans because he's done got you hoodwinked. Amen. But you got to study his plans. And I'm not talking about getting on his side to stay with him. You got to spy into it. I spy all the time and see what the devil's doing to those around me. That's why I get up and preach against some of the things I despise, what he's doing to our lives. That soldier must be familiar with the friends in his own ranks tonight. You don't know who your enemy and the friendlies are tonight. You can kill the friendlies. So you got to know the difference between the friendly and the enemy fire. You got to know where your friends are. That means you need to be skilled and trained. That's why I say go to the Word of God, get it done. Number five. A good soldier tonight must be a fighter. Now this is where some of the Baptists get excited. Praise God, I'm a fighter. I'll whoop them, send them on over. I've had people want to whoop people for me. And I've seen people want to whoop me. Amen. I had a fella grab me one night by the collar, slung me around like that, said, "Hit me, hit me, hit me." And he was an ex-boxer. And he had done one in the Golden Gloves. He didn't have but one eye. I honestly believe, and of course I like to let my ego get away from me, I like to believe that I could have beat the devil out of him that night, but I didn't feel impressed with the Spirit of God. I was afraid he might win. I didn't fight him. But he wanted to whoop me. You understand tonight? I've had people stand up and said, look, I see you in town, you're mine. I've been threatened with all that. And then I've had some good friends that say, bless God, I'll take care of them, preacher. And I honestly believe they would. And it was not the right thing. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal. We're not to go around whipping on somebody and hurting somebody. Our job tonight is to preach the Word of God, and God will take care of them. But I believe tonight as a soldier, a good soldier, we must be a fighter. That means we got to be courageous. Ain't no room for cowards in God's service. Did you know that? Amen. If you're fearful, somebody said, I'm afraid if we take a stand against that preacher, it'll split our church. I'm afraid if we take a stand against that, we won't have nobody come into church. Why don't you get yourself a backbone? If it's in the book, if it's in the Word of God, stand up and declare it. Amen. You at least have one on your side, and that's God. And brother, when you got God on your side, who else do you need? It don't make no difference where your friends or your neighbors are with you. God will stand with you. I believe that with all my heart. You need to be... Well, there's nothing, I guess, unusual about you being scared. Somebody said, I'm just afraid, preacher. I know, Gideon had some. He had a big old crowd. What was it, 32,000? Something like that, wasn't it? Wasn't it 32,000? I believe I'm right. And then he got them off down there and he said, if there's any of you fearful, if there's any of you scared, if there's any of you'd rather go to the house before the battle, why don't you just go to the house? And he looked around and he started counting again. And he said, what was it, 10,000 left? I believe it was 10,000, wasn't it? 10,000. He said, what are we going to do? And Gideon said, we got 10,000, Lord. 22,000 of them done run. And God said to him, don't you imagine this is bad business and sounds like odd theology when God looks at the man of God and says, that's still too many. Now they're in the valley looking like grasshoppers down there. They are, the people of God are. These people are so strong. And God said, what I want you to do now, take them down to the brook and let's see how they drank water. Water is a type of the Word of God. And so they go down there, and some of them, you know, they don't do it right. Some of them lap it up and just stick their head down in the water, don't pay no attention to it, and just get all, and some of them kind of lapped it up. And, amen, there's a watching. And they separate. He said, you separate them. When they got through, how many did he have left? 300, right? He had 300. And God said, that's what we'll do. We'll use that. Now, can you do your math tonight? Boy, that's a crowd of them. They must have all been Baptists, but them 300. And they were backbone Baptists. Amen. The rest of them were liberal Baptists. They probably carried another version. But them old backbone Baptists, God said, get you a picture. Amen. And we're going to put the Word of God and the sword of the Lord. And he said, I want you to put that picture out there. Get your sword. We're going down. Now, we're not even going to put you 300 together. Now, can you imagine that? He said, we're going to put 100 of you over there, and 100 of you over here, and 100 of you over there, and we're going to break you up into three ranks. And at the right time, we're going to sound the trumpet, and we're going down the hillside into the valley where the enemy is that looked like, amen, it's impossible to catch or do anything with. And we're going to break them pitchers, and the lights are going to shine. Your lamps are going to shine. And you're going to get your sword, and you're going to cry, the sword of the Lord of Gideon. Now, I believe them a shouting Baptist, because these little old measly dead Baptists that I see in most churches that went, sword of the Lord and of Gideon, sword of the Lord and of Gideon. But they come up the mountain and said, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. and it sounded like thousands. And them fellas jumped up and took off and went home. Not only to go home, they killed each other as they went. They didn't know who the enemy was. Brother, it don't take God to have a crowd, but they were fighters. And then the last point tonight, they were all good fighters, but God wants a good soldier to be a good finisher. God don't want us to start something and just quit. I believe tonight we ought to have a singleness of heart. One thing at this church we ought to have a desire for, and that's to win the lost with the Word of God and not back up, not go to the side, not to the right, nor to the left, but go forward for the glory of God. Have one singleness of heart. And we have a determination to win. You with me? Not a deserter, but a finisher. And by the way, can I remind you of what I read in the Scripture already tonight? A finisher is rewarded. Paul got a crown of righteousness. Now, I got a hold of this little information. And I like to use things that I can find. This sure did stir my heart. Maybe it'll help yours, and we'll have the invitation right behind it. A little thing that somebody wrote, a little lengthy, but here it is. He said, I am a soldier. Here I stand. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior of the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, and tried by adversity, and tested by the fire. I am a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire at the rapture or die in this army, but I will not go get out, sell out, or be talked out. I am faithful, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. Here I stand. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I'm a soldier, a prayer warrior. Here I stand. No one has to call me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. Every church member needs a copy of this. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. Here I stand. I am not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my King, obeying His orders, praising His name, and building His kingdom. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. Here I stand. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cared for, are catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to make me quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out even. I will win. My God will supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. Here I stand. The devil cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot beat me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. Here I stand. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from this battlefield, He will promote me to a captain and bring me back to rule this world with Him. I'm a soldier, a prayer warrior in the army of God, and I'm marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior, and marching heaven bound. Here I stand. Will you stand with me? Now let's all stand tonight and have an invitation. I pray tonight that you be a soldier. God would have you to be tonight. God help you to fight the battle. Brother, this is a raging battle tonight too. Let's give it our best. Give it our all. God wants us to work for Him. Do the work. Stand in the gap and make up the hedge tonight for the cause of Christ.